monitoring.
Good morning, Drake. Out and about early, aren't you?
This is not early.
Are you running late?
No, I just don't need to be up there that early. Early for me is out on the road before 5:30.
Yeah, I would say that's early. It ain't why it says here for ID.
It's cold, and the roads are icy, which is, well, it's nice to see nothing has changed, but at the same time also not.
Well, at least we don't have it as bad as they did do down like in the Carolinas and that.
I haven't really been paying attention to what it's like down there. My radio is cold enough that when I press transmit, the transmit indication on the screen takes about 3 to 4 seconds to actually show up.
Oh, yeah. Have you had problems with repeaters when it gets real cold, too?
I have issues with repeaters when the temperature transitions between below freezing and above freezing for a certain amount of time. Something with moisture. It's really... sounds like moisture and feed line. When it freezes and unfreezes, it causes problems.
Oh, okay. I've had problems, not so much lately, but years ago, used to have it when it got down around like 10 above and then below that. The system we got now seems to work reasonably well. You know, like the repeater seems, well, I guess I haven't checked our repeater yet this morning. But most time it seems to be working pretty good here.
Yeah, understood there. It also depends if your repeater and duplexer is in a temperature-controlled environment. If your repeater and stuff is not in a temperature-controlled environment, say you tuned it in the summertime, your duplexer, and then when winter comes around, those duplexers are made of metal. They're going to shrink, and it's going to change your tuning a little bit. Usually, most of the time, it's not enough to make a difference, but sometimes it does, and you'll get all sorts of problems.
Yeah, WGW.
Somebody else came in there. Go ahead. NAYSS.
NAYSS. WGW. Roger. Remember me? 4-0 here in Indian River.
Well, I've only got about 12 below here, just outside of Grayling. Andy Sanborn had 30 below last night, and that's about 15 miles to the southeast of Grayling.
Yeah, I've got -5 here going along the bay. I'll just turn it on to 31 north.
Yeah, and your duplexers, I've also wondered, too, if there's, like, a couple different metals in there, and they contract at different, well, contract and expand at different rates, so it throws things out of whack. That was when we had the repeater, and we had to have a light underneath it to keep it warm. But now we have a enclosure that the repeater's an insulated enclosure.
The way I see it is, you've got sensitive radio equipment. It matters more on VHF than it does on UHF, I've noticed. You really want to keep them in a temperature-controlled environment. I mean, if you look at the specifications for most radio equipment, it's not designed to work below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, or even 32 degrees Fahrenheit. You really want it to be in a temperature-controlled environment. That's why most tower sites you'll see have HVAC systems. You can get away with it, but if you want optimal performance 24/7, regardless of outside conditions, you're going to want to heat that shack up in the wintertime. Even if it's insulated, it's still going to get really cold in there. I don't care how much insulation you've got. If it's below zero for days on end, it's going to be about that cold in that enclosure.
Now, that's the thing. It's your enclosure at the dock, at the base of the tower, you know, before the doghouse wasn't heated or climate controlled. What we've done now, you know, and it's kind of a, this, we are not a real sophisticated or super sophisticated amateur radio repeater, but what ours is an insulated enclosure. In its past life, there was an upright freezer, and we just put a heater in there, and that works pretty decent.
I've been out in the ham shack here since 6 o'clock, so I'm headed back in the house now, and going to get the rest of my days going, and hopefully I can stay warm if I don't have to go outside much. Anyhow, hey, John, good to hear you out there. 73, WGW.
Good hearing you too, Rod. Every now and then I get back up in your country, but I'm not on the road near as much as I used to be. I'm only working like one or two days a week, basically about down to about one now, a little more than one. In fact, this next week I'll be up in Petoskey. Anyway, YFS. Go ahead, Drake.
Yeah, Ron, I have a good one. Good to hear you. But, yeah, that'll work. I wouldn't necessarily say the shack has to be, or the enclosure it's in has to be well insulated. As long as it's got a roof and walls, and you've got a heater nearby, and it's not in a large area, then it'll be fine. Back before we got into the nice shack at Hackleberg, we had a space heater in there, and that seemed to do okay. I think the thing had to run almost 90% of the time, and it didn't get anywhere near as cold as it did this year during the winter, so. Well, I think we transitioned over into that shack. No, we transitioned in the springtime. But, yeah. Heater helps. It doesn't have to be very warm. As long as it's above freezing by 8 degrees or so, you're fine. Usually we set our stuff to around 50. So that we don't rack up a crazy electrical bill. Especially at some of our sites. Some of them are still, I think Krause Road and Hackleberg are still resistive heat. The one at Krause Road is hilariously undersized, but there's not a whole lot of, you know, there's not a whole lot of heat generating equipment in there either, and I'm not sure how well insulated that shack is anymore. So pretty decently large shack with a really small heater, and when we did a little bit of work in there in the wintertime, man, you didn't keep that door closed. It was cold.
Well, the shack we're in is actually a ski motor shack for the tow rope. So it has a big hole in one side for the tow rope coming through. You know, we've got a motor behind us. I don't know, 25 or 50 horse motor or something like that. Interesting enough, we haven't had any problem with interference with the motor, which kind of amazed me. But the old freezer works pretty good because not only does it insulate, but it gives us a little metal RF, and if we need be, we can lock it. You know, we haven't had that much of a problem or any kind of problem like that, but it seems like it's a nice setup, and we repurposed it and recycled a dead freezer, so it worked pretty good.
Understood there. Yeah, your motors, most of the time, if it's a universal motor, you're going to notice the interference. If there's any kind of spark involved, you're going to notice that. If it's like an induction motor, which is most high power motors that you see for a lot of things like that, you're not going to have much issue. As long as your antenna's not sitting right next to it. I mean, if you've got 10-foot separation or more, you're probably fine. But yeah, DC or universal motors with brushes and stuff like that, those are a nightmare.
Not sure the type of the motor. I just know does its thing, but it's not on that much even then. You know, they only have the lift operating, I think, about three nights a week, maybe a Saturday or something. And then, of course, you know, our FM is a little more resistant to interference. And then, like you say, the antenna is, oh, it's probably about 40 feet on the horizontal, and then maybe about 40 feet, maybe 50, 60 on the, about 40 feet, 50 feet on the vertical. So, you know, there's some separation there.
Oh, yeah, then you're not even going to notice that. Yeah. He's got both vertical and horizontal. Vertical is better, because the antenna's going to be radiating outward and not down, and it's not going to be, you know, the radiation pattern's like a donut most of the time, so it's not going to be picking up as much as what it's below it as it is up to the side. So vertical separation is the best thing, and horizontal is good, but it doesn't make as big of a difference. You get less in return. With that kind of separation, you're never even going to know that motor's there.
Yeah, it works pretty good. It shoots nicely down the river valley, you know, the El Savo River Valley, I should say. The bad thing about it is where it is on that ski hill, to the south, it doesn't work very well at all. So, like, Ross Common, you lose the repeater when you get to the first Ross Common exit. So, like, down in Houghton Lake, no, it's, which in some ways, I guess, is a good thing, because downstate would be, I think the nearest repeater on our frequency is, like, Saline, Michigan. So, you know, it's totally isolated from that.
Yep, understood there. Anyway. Well, the roads are dry today. At least just south of Elk Rapids. That's a pleasant surprise. I haven't seen that. I don't even know how long. It's been a while.
NAYSS, yeah, I know. The times I've been out on the roads, is they're snow covered. You know, it's hard packed snow, you know, so you're not sinking into it. But, you know, if you slammed on the brakes, you would be sliding for a while. That's the last time I've been out. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. When I was out on the road Tuesday. Tuesday was the last day I was on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, my drive back, it was, once I got north of Grand Rapids, about 3-4 miles, it was pretty smooth sailing. As long as I wasn't on any concrete or anything, it was good. But, the main issue I was noticing was a lot of the roads were all scraped to nothing, and there was just ice. And when you scrape it down to nothing and there's just ice and you don't put any material down, that's just kind of a disaster area. I'd almost rather drive on snow.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. That's a lot of the stuff that I've been seeing like that. You know, it's you have no material, no sand on there. So, where are you at? Are you up by Elk Rapids right now or what?
Yeah, I'm up by Elk Rapids, but my antenna's on the back of the vehicle, and it's kind of like having a Yagi that's facing forward.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, because the way the, it uses the car for the ground plane, so it's shooting that way. So you're south of Elk Rapids heading toward TC?
I'm south of Elk Rapids heading north.
So which repeater are you getting into?
147.26.
Okay. Yeah, I've got to try to keep up on all this. In fact, I got to program those repeaters you told me about. In fact, would it be possible? Tell you what. I'm sitting here at my desk. I can write them down. Tell me your repeaters there in DC.
Yeah, so the VHF machine that's on the link is 147.26. PL-114-8. Standard offset, so that would be, I think it's a positive offset. And then the UHF machine is 444.35 PL1072, positive offset. That's not linked to anything on analog, because it's primarily a digital machine that just happens to have analog capability.
Okay, that repeat that. UHF is the one that's digital, but it's digital on everything, right?
APRS squashed the last part. Say that again.
Okay, that UHF is digital on everything. It does fusion, I can't even think of the other ones now, but all the different digital.
Yep, it does all of the different digital modes. It's not necessarily linked to anything on all those modes. You have to do it manually by just keying up whatever reflector you want or connecting it manually. But it'll do everything.
Yeah, so I get on there with Fusion and talk to somebody else that's on, Motorola APCO, P25?
If you go in Fusion, you're coming out Fusion. If you connect to a reflector that does cross mode, then you will be going to somebody that's on P25 or whatever other mode. If you just key up on Fusion and it's not connected to anything, you're just doing Fusion locally on the repeater.
Okay, how long does it take to change over before it drops, say, the Fusion and goes to P25?
If there's no local activity for about 30 seconds, then it goes back to listening to everything.
Okay, that gives me an idea a little more on how it's working. Okay. And that link is linked to where?
I don't have Fusion links to anything on it. It's mostly used for DMR. If you want it connected to something on Fusion, just tell me and I can go into it and link it to whatever and it'll stay connected. I just let it sit there and do nothing because you can link it. You can ad hoc link it with your radio by pressing the wires button and do the wires next thing. It'll do that, but doing that while you're driving is kind of a mess.
Okay, so if I wanted the Fusion repeater that's on this link in Traverse City, what would I use, or in the Traverse City area?
You wouldn't. There isn't really any machine that's on Fusion that's connected into the system. I mean, I've got my repeater at my apartment that you can reach about a mile and a half away, but you're not reaching that from town. That is connected on Fusion, but I mostly just use it at home.
Okay, when you say a mile and a half away, where are you at over there in Traverse City, roughly?
Hammond and 5 Mile.
Hammond and 5 Mile? Okay. Got an idea where you're at then.
Yeah, I'm like about a mile and a half, 2 miles from Holiday Hills.
Okay, yeah, that gives me a little more idea there. Well, Drake, it's good talking with you, but I'm going to have to get dressed so I can go to breakfast. Some of the luxuries of being retired, I can go get my breakfast up at the senior center. So my wife and I are going to go up there and enjoy ourselves and have breakfast with some friends. So good talking with you as always. Take care, have a great weekend, and stay warm. NADMH, NAYSS. I'll be clear on yours.
All right, 7-3, John. Catch you later. NADMH, mobile.
QMB mobile monitoring 19.
Good morning.
Is there anybody out there that knows why Harbor Petoskey Road is closed?
I couldn't tell you.
Sorry, say again.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't been listening to Emmett County Public Safety, so I have no idea what's going on up there.
Looks like a forest vehicle has got the road shut down, which is really weird. Either that or it's military. I don't know. It's strange.
AAV, you okay?
Done.
Yeah, if you're talking about M1 119. I just heard on the radio station that I'm listening to here. Apparently, they've got it closed for an accident.
Okay. I guess the guy that's got it blocked off might be with Natural Resources or something. He's helping out. Okay. Yeah, it's just odd to see a green vehicle and a green uniform blocking a road.
All right, KAVUK, clear and monitoring.
KI7QMD mobile, clear. Thank you.
KUIS mobile.
KFA ENS, KAGAT. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Lima India, sound check.
Station looking for a sound check. You are coming through Lima Charlie.
KI7QMD testing. KI7QMD requesting a radio check. KI7QMD testing on 19 and Petoskey, requesting a radio check, please.
KAGYS, yeah, you're loud and clear there.
Thank you, sir. 73, KI7QMD, signing out.
Is that you running south on 75, Cameron? KAGYS. KAGYS mobile, southbound.
It's working. KFA-DW.
KFA-ENF Mobile, Harbor Springs.
KFH-FLI, radio check.
Yeah, loud and clear. Any units? Any EMH square? Yeah, last station, you were entirely unreadable. Any EMH testing? Last station didn't catch the call. Go again. Any EMH? Nothing heard. Any EMH clear? Yeah, you're real noisy, and unable to pick you out.
Any EMH?